November 22, 1925, the great good which the soul receives by living in the supreme will. The acts done in it form a celestial dew which covers our creatures. I was fusing myself in the holy divine volition according to my usual way, trying, as much as is possible for me, to embrace everything in my little lap, in order to place my little I love you, my thank you, my adoration, my I bless you, upon all created things, with the power of the supreme fiat, so as to keep company with this supreme will, which is spread in the creation with so much love. But while I was doing this, I thought to myself, what does the soul receive by living in this celestial atmosphere of the supreme will? At that moment, my lovable Jesus came out from within my interior, and clasping me all to himself, told me, my daughter, do you want to know what the soul receives by living in my will? She receives the union of the supreme will with hers, and in this union my will takes on the task of giving the parity with itself to the will of the soul. So, my will is holy, is pure, is light, and it wants to make the soul equal to itself in holiness, purity and light. And if the task of the soul is to live in my will, the task of mine is to give my likeness to the human will in a perfect way. And this is why I want you always in it, so that it may not only keep you in its company, but it may make you grow in its likeness. And this is why I feed you the food of its knowledges, to make you grow in a divine manner and with its perfect likeness. And it is for this reason that my will wants you always with itself, wherever it operates, that it may give you the act of its operating, the value which the operating of a divine will contains, and you may receive it. On hearing this, I said, my love, your will is everywhere. So, everyone lives in it. Yet, not everyone receives this likeness. And Jesus immediately added, and what does this has to do with it, my daughter? It is true that all live in my will, because there is not one point in which my will is not present, but almost all live in it as foreigners, or as mercenaries. Others, by force. Others, as rebels. These live in it but do not know it, nor do they know its goods. On the contrary, they are the usurpers of that very life which they have received from my will. Each act of these is a dissimilarity that they acquire between their will and that of their Creator. It is the confirmation of their poverty, of their passions, and of the thick darkness with which they fill themselves, in such a way that they are blind to all that is heaven. In order to reach the parity with my will, one cannot live as a foreigner, but as the owner. One must look at all things as one's own, and have all the care for them. Therefore, it is necessary to know them, in order to love them and possess them. As beautiful and good as something may be, if it is not totally one's own, one does not love it, does not esteem it, does not use all the care which it deserves. One always has a cold eye in looking at it, and a heartbeat without life for loving it. On the other hand, if that something is one's own, one is all eyes to look at it, and all heart to love it. One esteems it, and reaches the point of making of it an idol for his heart. That something in itself has not become more beautiful. What it was, it still is, it has not gone through any change. It is the person who went through a change by acquiring it and keeping it as something exclusively his own. This is what the soul receives by living in my will. She receives it as her own, she possesses it, she feels its celestial aura, its life of heaven, the likeness of the one who created her. And as she lives in my will, she feels studded with the reflections of her Creator. In everything she feels the power of that fiat which gives life to all things. And in the sea of goods which she possesses, she says, how happy I am, the will of God is mine, I possess it and I love it. Therefore, all the acts done in my will diffuse over all, and I'll take part in them. See, when, at daybreak, you were saying, may my mind rise in the supreme will, in order to cover all the intelligences of creatures with your will, so that all may rise in it. And in the name of all I give you the adoration, the love, the submission of all created intelligences. While you were saying this, a celestial dew poured upon all creatures, covering them, to bring the requital of your act to all. Oh! How beautiful it was to see all creatures covered by the celestial dew which my will formed, symbolized by the night dew which can be found in the morning over all plants, to embellish them, to fecundate them, and to prevent those which are about to wither from drying up. With its celestial touch, it seems to place a touch of life in order to make them vegetate. How enchanting is the dew at daybreak! But much more enchanting and beautiful is the dew of the acts which the soul forms in my will. And I, yet, my love and my life, with all this dew, creatures do not change. And Jesus, if the night dew does so much good to the plants, unless it falls on dry wood, severed from the plants, or upon things which contain no life, such that, even though they remain covered with dew and somehow embellished, the dew is as though dead for them, and as the sun rises, little by little it withdraws it from them, much more good does the dew which my will makes descend upon souls, unless they are completely dead to grace. And yet, by the vivifying virtue it possesses, even if they are dead, it tries to infuse in them a breath of life. But all others, some more, some less, according to their dispositions, feel the effects of this beneficial dew.